Pastor Jono gave a testimony. He said, I got disconnected from all devices, and it was just good for me to do so. Why is that so good? Because I think we have hundreds of voices speaking to us into our lives every day. And as I travel about, I notice it seems like as God's people, we have lost the art somewhere of listening to the voice of God. Now, knowing Pastor Scott through the years, as I have and as I do and as I appreciate, often when we talk in terms of listening to what God is saying and hearing His voice. And I hope at the end of the service tonight there will be something that I can transmit to you that you will walk away saying, you know, I feel a little bit more equipped, and I believe I'll be a little bit more sensitive to hearing the voice of God. Amen. I mean, when you think of all of the voices you could hear, what do you suppose is the voice that we hear the most? I think, and I could be wrong, but I'll submit this to you, that we listen to our own voice more than any other. In fact, research, whoever does that, and how much you can ever believe of what they do or say, they say that we are able to think and speak, I don't mean verbally, but just think at 1,300 words per minute. Do you realize how quickly you can get off track if you're only listening to your own voice? That is bad. Now, some husbands have said the only voice they hear is their wife, but sometimes they do that with selective hearing, you know what I mean. And you as a wife would know that. A gentleman told me not long ago, he said, I can still hear the voice of my father echoing in my ears sometime when I'm working on something or doing something. And I thought, growing up in Western Pennsylvania, my grandmother had a saying, if you don't behave, I'm going to slap you up to a peak and knock it off you. Now, I don't know what that meant, but I never wanted to have that experience. Somebody did give me some insight in what that meant. They said in the olden days, people used to make butter, you know, out of the cream, and as they mixed the cream, it would get foamy. And so what they would do to get to the butter, to separate the foam and to get to the butter, is they would knock the foam off, knock the peak of the foam off. So I hope that's what she meant, but I always tried to shape up before she had to do that slapping. But I don't know what voices that you hear. But I do know this. There are a lot of voices every day that try to speak into our life, and the most important voice that you could wake up hearing, the most important voice that you could go to bed with, the most important voice that you could hear throughout the day would be the voice of God. And my goal is to get you to check in with God more often every day. So if you'll turn with me to the book of John, and as you can see, I began this little idea with the handout that Clay or Abby, one of them, so adequately put together for me, said, I'm hearing voices, the person across the table told me. I'm not sure if it's God's voice or the devil speaking, they stated. Now, more than one person has told me that during the course of several times of counseling. But it's interesting that they don't know what voice I'm hearing. And obviously, this was a Christian saying, I don't know what I'm hearing and what to believe. So tonight, I'm going to talk to you about, on the reverse side of your sheet, don't go there yet, but I'm going to talk about our ear being trained. I'm going to talk about some other things in relationship to that, but I want to point you to the best voices that you can hear right now. So in John chapter 10, we see the best voice that you can hear. And your first blank there is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, we read about that. I'm sure as pastors preach through the Bible and through this gospel, you have heard messages on the Good Shepherd. And so I'm just going to kind of outline a few things about why the Good Shepherd is such a good voice. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he entereth not in by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, John 10:1. The same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the penkeeper or the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. There's about three ideas I just want to pump out there to you very quickly. First of all, notice there is a good shepherd. There is a good voice that you can listen to. And think about what this idea is. He calleth his own sheep in verse 3. Here we see ownership. God wants to own us. God wants to own our opinion. God wants to own our direction in life. And so he is our owner. Why? He bought, he paid for us when he died on the cross. We ought to see ourselves as being owned by God. Somebody owns you, or somebody wants to own you. Sometimes your job, your company would like to own you. Sometimes there's other people that would like to own you. Sometimes parents say to their teenagers, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. They express ownership in that way. Who owns you? Do you look and say, God is my owner? My shepherd, Jesus Christ, is my owner. So here we see there's ownership. Notice, and he leadeth them out. There is leadership. He gives direction. So the voice of God is not just out there to speak, it's out there to give you direction for life. And the outcome of the voice of God, by the way, is your obedience and my obedience to him. And then notice, he leadeth them out, and verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So there's ownership, there's leadership, but notice this, there's fellowship. The sheep follow him. Now, some of you may have been to the Holy Land, and you could still see this on the hills of Bethlehem. There may be, let's say, 100 sheep in a flock. And let's say there's 8 to 10 shepherds there. Do you realize that when, in that flock of sheep, if one of those, they're all grazing together. But if one of those shepherds call the sheep, his sheep, come away from the herd and follow him. Isn't that a powerful illustration that Jesus was using him here? It's just so great and so powerful. And turn the page. Well, you don't have to maybe turn the page in your Bible, but I have to turn the page because I want you to notice verse 5. Because this is significant. Verse 5 says, what about this, the idea of the sheep? And a stranger, they will not follow, but they flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That is significant, because I believe when Christians get in trouble, it's because they are following and listening to the wrong voice. How many times have I sat across a desk and counseled somebody, and either a husband or wife who were considering separation and divorce, and the husband said, you know, I just can't take it anymore from my wife the way she acts. I can't take it anymore. I see my buddies out here. I go out there and I'm part of the rifle club or part of some club, and they are so free. They have so much fun. And a wife may be sitting across the table and she'll be saying, I just can't handle living with my husband anymore, and I'm working with two ladies right now who have a divorce, and once a week they go to the bar and they say they are so free. Think about that. What is wrong with that picture? When you're contemplating a divorce, you listen to two divorcees. When you are thinking about separating from your wife, you're thinking about your buddies in the club that they're in. We get off track when we listen to the wrong voice. Whenever I'm talking to somebody and trying to help them, I want to find out who's speaking into their life. Who is giving them the most counsel? What are their friends saying? What voice are they hearing? Why is he such a good shepherd? One final thought and then we'll move on. Why is he such a good shepherd? Look at verse 11. Here's the idea of why Jesus is such a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd because what? The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. That's why Jesus is the best voice ever to listen to. He gave his life, and every day he gives himself to us for us to listen to him. We sang the song, Complete in Thee, the power of the words of that song of what God does and how complete we are in Christ. Listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Second idea I want to put forward is the idea he is the just judge. He is the just judge. This is why his voice is so good. And we learn some lessons from that. So if you turn back a few chapters to the book of John, in the book of John, to John chapter 5. I want you to look at John chapter 5, and I want you to see what Jesus said. Whose voice do you suppose Jesus listened to? Listen to John chapter 5, verse 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. What will the voice of God teach you but from this example and this verse of what Jesus said? First of all, notice the negative. If it is a negative, I don't think it's a negative. I think it's a positive that we need to learn. But what is the first thing he said? I can of myself do nothing. In other words, he's saying to you and I, my example is I don't act on my own. I don't act on my own. Jeremiah gave a testimony. We don't know what to do. We just have to what? Try to tune in and listen to the voice of God. Why? Because we don't know. I can't act on my own. What a great position to be in. To follow the voice of God. You can't act on your own. You are called to a mission of obedience. And so listen, I can't have my own thoughts. I have a lot of opinions on things. Do you ever watch the news and get an opinion on things? I do. And then I back up and I say, wait a minute. That's the voice of Fox News. What's God's opinion on that? What's God's opinion on that? God, what do you want to do? I would like to go after him. What do you want to do? God says, I'd like to save him. Okay. Then I better pray for that, right? Because my voice is not important. My opinion's not important. His opinion is of preeminently important. And then he says, I judge only as I hear. Literally, in a sense, he's saying, I am not going to move until I hear from the Father. John O. mentioned this, Jesus getting up early and meeting with the Father. Why? So he could judge what direction he was going in. He taught us even in the humanness of who he was and the deity of who he was, in his humanness, he said, I need to hear from the Father. Why do I need to hear from the Father? So I can always do those things that please him. Do you seek to please the Lord? I think knowing the people that I do at Woodside, if I said, and you don't need to do it, but if I said, all of you that want to please God, stand up, I think all of you would stand up. If you really want to do that, then you have to tune in to the voice of God. That means other voices have to be shut out, and his voice has to be the total voice that you hear. You say, I'm ready. I buy in. I want to listen to his voice. How do I do it? Well, turn to the back of your sheet. That's what we're going to get to next. What must I have to have in my life, to follow, to hear the voice of God daily, to follow his voice? I call it living listening. Or you could switch it around and say listening living. Either way it works. But what must I do first? First of all, it involves training my ear. I am not a musician, but I understand and know, and you probably know as well, some musicians that can play by ear. I've had people that have said to me, that's all right, that's just Clay, he dropped a crutch, he'll be okay. He's my buddy, he can throw them at me if he wishes, I love him so much. So anyways, but what about this? A musician will say, just hum the tune, or just kind of sing the tune to me. Well, I can't even sing. But a good musician, if they have a guitar or they're at the piano, I can sing a little part of the tune, and before long they're playing it. Why? They've been trained. Their ear is trained. They can play by ear. They listen. They hear. God wants to train my ears. God has spoken. Look at the next chapter. You were in John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 6. Look at John chapter 6. Verse 63 of John chapter 6. powerful, powerful statement. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. How did you come to Christ? The Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and drew you to Christ. That's why when I see some people drifting, I don't even know if they are genuinely born again, because I don't know what brought them to Christ. Maybe some sales job or something else. But I do know this, that people are genuinely convicted and come to Christ. The Spirit of God brought them and gave them life. So the Spirit quickeneth, gives them life. The flesh, who I am, just in my own flesh, day by day, profiteth nothing. In other words, my DNA is all messed up. Why? Because of sin. So could we literally say this? I'm a sinner for life. How about you? I'm a sinner for life. I'm not perfect. And so I realize that in myself, I get all twisted up and all mixed up, and I'm sinful. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that way. I want to hear the voice of God. And he says, then the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now we have to remember something when we think of this, when we think of training our ear and having our ear trained to the voice of God. Jeremiah, you come up here. I need you to help me real quick. Think about it. What did God say about this book that he wrote? Okay, think about it. Hold your one. Yeah, like that. Okay, watch. What does the Bible say that happened when the Bible was written? The scripture says what? Holy men of God wrote as God breathed the pages. Jeremiah may want to put something down that he thinks. He may want to put his opinion down. But that's not what we call it. I can't. Okay, that's all right. Jeremiah, he can stay up here all night. You push it down for me.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Well, I wonder what voice he was hearing. Probably none, right? Can you hear when you... Oh, you don't have your things on. You'll be able to hear now when you have it on. Oh, that's what... Clay, is that what you were waving at me for back there? I thought you were cheering me on. Okay, good. All right. Let's go back. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, right? So God breathed this book. How did he used men to do it. But they penned the words as he spoke them.
Amen.
They didn't do it on their own. This is not their opinion. And not only that, I want to keep you up here for a second. Not only that, the scripture says the Spirit quickeneth us. So I have to train my ear to listen to my closest companion. What happens when you become a Christian? The scripture says the Holy Spirit comes inside you to dwell. Now his mom's probably going to laugh at this, but I'm going to make Jeremiah the Holy Spirit for just a few seconds, not irreverently. So what happens? Come on over here, Jer. So what happens? The Holy Spirit and I are inseparably connected. He's my paraclete, my helper. He comes alongside of me. So every day, who am I walking with? I'm walking with my companion, the Holy Spirit. Do you realize the closeness, thank you, of the companion that you have? And do you realize that you can listen to his voice regularly, continually, faithfully, all the time? You can listen to the voice of his Spirit as he speaks to you. How is he going to speak to you? Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit speaks to you and interacts with you in his personal training session with you is right here. Every day, he wants you to meet with him and interact with him and hear his words and hear his voice. How many times has your pastor preached on the fact, are you in your Bible each day? Are you opening the scripture each day? Are you listening to the voice of God each day? If people aren't in the Bible, how can they be hearing God's voice? If I need to know any statistics, by the way, of sports, I call my grandson Marcus. He knows all the Broncos, how many yards they've gained. He probably knows already, even though he's not seen the game, how many yards they gained or did not gain today or whatever. I say, Mark, tell me what's going on. Who's number one? Who's number three? He knows everything. He's a walking statistical machine. But so now I got to ask him, hey, Mark, what does Proverbs 15:1 say? Let me check on that, Grandpa. Well, Mark, now you can't just listen to the voice of the ESPN. You have to listen to other voices. And knowing Mark, he'll do it because I love the fact of how obedient he is. And everything I've ever asked him to do, he's been sweetly obedient, and I've congratulated him on it. But you and I have to interact with God. God wants to be our personal trainer every day. Now think about this. What if I said to Pastor Jono, because he keeps in shape. I don't, he does. I said, Jono, I just met this personal trainer. Well, he's working on my diet, which is a big job. And he puts me through a workout every day. Tells me what to eat. Tells me what to do every day. Puts me through a workout every day. I mean, this personal trainer is awesome, John. Pastor John says, man, you have that kind of money to spend on a personal trainer? Pastor John, it's free. It's what? You have a personal trainer every day that works with you and he does it for free? Yes. It's my heavenly Father, Jono. He is my personal trainer every day, and he does it for free. You want to sign up, Jono? I signed up with him. Good. Then let's train together. Let's make sure we're in God's Word together. Because this Word trains me to hear the voice of God. It trains me distinctly. Just a couple of thoughts on that. What does God's Word say? How does he train my ear? He trains my ear by telling me from the words of his book what I need to see and know about God. A.W. Tozier said, if you know God more intimately, you hear his voice more clearly. So he tells me that. He shows me his character and what his character is like. And then he tells me, this is really critically important. He tells me how he acts in certain situations and circumstances and how he reacts and how he handles things in life. That is powerful to see how God handles things in life. So this interaction with his word, when I read, when I hear, when I study, when I think on, I hear his voice more distinct. You know, there's another way to hear God's voice. Not only God's word, but how about God's world? I was a hero last night. You say, how did you become a hero? I'll tell you, everybody that is a grandparent, here's how you become a hero. Take your grandchildren to the dollar store. You can buy 5 gifts. Only spend $5 and they think it's Christmas and you're a hero. On my way to the dollar store, I looked and I saw the sun and I knew it was coming down on the mountains and I knew the mountain would look like it was on fire. I called Susan, I called my wife, I said, you gotta get somewhere and see this sunset. It is beautiful. Is it the sunset that's beautiful? No, it's the God that made the sunset that's beautiful. Amen. My grandson Titus was telling me yesterday, he said, you know, Grandpa, there's kids at my school, they believe there is a God, they just don't believe in God. Isn't that true? I mean, even an atheist believes in God. If he didn't, why would he declare himself an atheist? I don't believe there's a God. Well, why would you even say it if you don't believe there is one? I mean, that's crazy. You have to believe there is one to believe there's not one. Otherwise, you wouldn't be declaring there's not one. Right? I mean, that's crazy. So you see God in the world around you. That's what Romans 1 teaches. The creation says to us, there's a God, worship him. But there's others. There's a pastor, you go to a church. That's God's world, right? You're in God's world tonight. Why? Because you're part of this body. This is part of God's world. You hear His truth. He gets to speak into your life tonight by messages that you hear. Christian friends can be huge in speaking into your life. Situations that God uses speak into your life. So God's world, the situations around you, God wants to train your ear to listen to His voice. Let me give you a little quick Bible story. You can turn there with me if you want. It's a very familiar story. I'm sure you've heard tons of messages on it, particularly at ladies' retreats, if you ladies have gone to retreats. It's in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. What happened? A lady called Martha invited Jesus to dinner. And here we see it. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and notice the phrase, heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, literally anxious, and troubled. You're not relaxed. You're stressed out, Martha, about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Think of this idea. Here's Martha. How would you like to invite Jesus over to your house tonight? Hopefully there's not a whole lot you'd have to clean up. I don't mean because your house is dirty, but because there's things there that shouldn't be there. Okay? So, here's Martha. Jesus is coming. Oh! Let me call Miss Grant. Let me see. I gotta get a recipe. Oh, she's the lady who makes that. Okay, let me call Mrs. Scott and get her recipe on potatoes. Okay, Jesus is coming. I have to have the best. I have to serve this. Okay, do we have plates? Do we have napkins? Are the forks on the right side of the plate? Okay, what am I gonna do? She's gone crazy. But she missed the major thing. Hearing the voice of Jesus. By the way, Jesus did not say anything to Martha unkind about her work ethic. God appreciates a good work ethic. God appreciates being responsible on the job. God did not say anything to Martha about her work ethic. What did Jesus do? He went straight to the heart. And he said, Martha, you missed out on something. Why? Because Mary wanted to hear my voice. And Martha, I wanted you to hear my voice too. But Martha, you got cumbered about with so many things and you were stressed. And look what it did inside to you, Martha. And you missed the good part, hearing the voice of God. Don't get so busy and so choked up in this life that you miss hearing the voice of God. And Jesus said she chose the good part. I like the last part of this story because it says, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, she invested in eternity by hearing the voice of God. When you listen to the voice of God, you are investing in eternity. So train my ear. What else does it take? If you're going to buy into hearing the voice of God, not only ear training, but it takes faith building. So build my faith. Now Gideon's the person I chose tonight. You're all probably familiar from Sunday school with the story of Gideon. Judges chapter 6, the Midianites had come in. They had taken over Israel. Gideon is grinding out some wheat so he can feed the family. He's at the threshing house in Judges chapter 6. And the Lord comes to speak to him. This is a unique story with a lot of nuances to Gideon. But what does he say to Gideon? Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, thou, as one man, are going to save Israel from the Midianites. And Gideon's like, what are you talking about? I'm nothing but a farmer. And do you know what tribe I'm from, God? I'm from Manasseh. That's the smallest clan in the book. God, I'm just a little runt from the tribe of Manasseh, and you're telling me I'm going to save Israel? God, no. And you know the story, Gideon laid out a fleece. He had the angel showed him something about the sacrifice and all those other things. Okay, I'll listen to the voice of the Lord. You know what Gideon teaches me? Don't believe what you think about yourself. Believe what God says about you. Don't believe your own opinion of yourself. How many times have I heard the story? I'll tell you, I had a dysfunctional family. My father was a drunk. My mother was this, and this. And what do you expect of me? Don't believe what you think about yourself. Believe what God says about you. If you're going to hear His voice, believe what He says about you. Oh, I can't do this. There's no use in me serving anymore. Oh, there's no use in this. Pastor, I can't go on. I have to find something else to do on Sunday. I think I need to go to the lake for about a year and take a sabbatical. Why? I'm just so tired. Just so tired. Where did you get that? Is that what God said about you, or is that what you told yourself? Oh, I'm abused. I'm this. I'm that. And I'm very sympathetic to all of those things. I'm not saying anything about that except don't believe your own opinion about you or what others say about you. Believe what God says about you. That's how you listen to the voice of God. Well, you know the story. God said, there's too many people in your army. You got 32,000 men. That's too many. I mean, Gideon wasn't a military leader. You know, you have too many men. Okay. What am I supposed to do? Well, tell everybody that feels like going home to go home. Gideon must have been in modern culture. Right? Because can you imagine having about 10,000 people in Denver and saying, if you don't want to commit your life to Christ, go home. Teenagers, if you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. I'm out. I'm out of here. That's how we live in that society, right? If I don't feel like it, I don't have to do it. And that's what Gideon's guys did. I mean, 22,000 of them took off. God said, Gideon, we got a problem. There's too many men. What are you talking about, God? No, let me give him another test. You got to go down. You know the story of the lap water and so on and so forth. He ended up with 300. What was God going? God was training Gideon's ear to understand the fact that faith means deliberately believing and relying on God's power rather than your own. All right? God's saying, Gideon, I want to take you through this because I want you to understand God's power and believe Him instead of what you can do. Do you realize that in your life, there will come times where God will knock every prop you ever thought you had and owned out from under you so that you can rely on His power and listen to His voice? Amen. And that's what He wants to do. You may go through adversity. You may go through trials. What is God doing? Knocking out the props. I got to knock the props out. Why? So that you will rely on me and trust in my power. And so, you know, I'll use Pastor John again. Hey, Pastor John, we got to defeat the Midianites. Okay. That's okay. I know some people in the government. Military has a big budget now. We're the most powerful army. I'll order in some warthogs. I'll order some Cobra helicopters. We have the best tanks, the best technology equipment. We can take it, Marty. We can do it. I said, John, no, that's not what God said. Okay, what did God say? How's God going to defeat this enemy army? I want you to take a trumpet. A what? A trumpet. Yeah, and then I want you to take a jar and put a candle in it and light it. What? We're going to defeat the enemy like that? John, you've been eating too much pizza. That can't be. You know, He said, or he says, Marty, you've been eating too much pizza. That can't be. You cannot defeat an army that way. Why? Because God wanted me to hear his voice, to depend on his methods and his process of doing things. Don't think you ever have it all figured out, because God wants to radically show you his process, his way of doing things. He wants to train you. He wants you to hear his voice. And to do this, he needs to build your faith in who he is and what he has to you to carry out to do. What a wonderful joy. Jesus said there was a problem with people hearing God's voice. And that gets us to the last point. I have to activate my heart. My heart has to be activated to the voice of hearing and desiring to hear the voice of God. David in Psalm 27:8 says, your face, Lord, will I seek. Your face, Lord, will I seek. I mean, when you think about it, this is a powerful, powerful verse of scripture. Isaiah, if you care to turn there, otherwise I'll just jot down the reference. It's Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4. Listen to this verse. So uniquely powerful. Here's what it says. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Obviously, the prophet was talking to a people of Israel who were saddened, who were warned of captivity, who were walking away from God. And God gave Isaiah, he said, I'm giving you the ability to speak, to teach sad and weary people. But it doesn't stop there. Here is the idea and the power of this verse. He waketh morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. What in the world is that saying? The scripture is saying here, God wakes me up every morning and he teaches me like a student, like one of the learned. Here's the idea. Will you activate your heart to say, God, when I wake up in the morning, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice throughout the day. I want you to teach me today. That is activating my heart. The world is so far from hearing the voice of God. In fact, Jesus described them in Matthew chapter 15. If you're still in the New Testament, turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Maybe 13, 15. It's in here somewhere. Matthew 13, 15. I flip-flopped the numbers. That happens. Clay, that happens when we get old, okay? Thank you for agreeing with me. Don't say amen just to shake your head like you're doing. Okay, Matthew 13, 15. Notice what Jesus said. He said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your heart, and your ears, for they hear. In other words, Jesus was saying, the world doesn't hear this, but God's blessed you. You understand what you're seeing before you. You understand what I'm hearing. And this is the prophecy in verse 14 of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. One of the saddest things that could be written over your life is that your ears don't hear the voice of God. You don't see life from God's perspective. You have to activate your heart to what Jesus said. And I finish with these particular thoughts. How in the world, how can I do that? How can I pull this off in my life? Turn with me just real quick, and we're just going to take it. I know you're going to say, oh, this is going to take several minutes, but it's not. I just want to take you through a quick little tour in the book of Acts. And if you start with me, you'll start at Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Think about this. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Here's the story. You may have noticed setting, as pastors probably preached through the book of Acts. And the Spirit, verse 29 of Acts chapter 8, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran. When he heard the voice of God, he ran. Where did he run from? He went from Jerusalem, where everything was taking place. I mean, high intensity, high activity. God was working. And God said, Philip, take off to the desert. And we know this story is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now turn with me a couple more chapters. Acts chapter 11. Look in Acts chapter 11 at verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Don't doubt what God's saying. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into this man's house. What is this about? This is a story, a preparation for the gospel to get to the Gentiles through Peter. And the house of Cornelius is going to open up the whole gospel to the Gentile world. And Peter's the messenger that God's going to use. And Acts chapter 20, a few more chapters over. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 23. Well, look at verse 22. Paul said, now, this is the story with the Ephesian elders. Paul said, and behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He does know one thing. God wants me to go to Jerusalem, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. There's going to be trouble when you go to Jerusalem. The Ephesian elders are crying, Paul, don't leave. You've taught us so much. We appreciate you so much. Paul, do you really have to go? Yes, I have to listen to the voice of God. Why? Verse 24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Every time people listened to God's voice in this book, the gospel was spread and Christ was glorified. Think about that. Every time you hear the voice of God and you act and obey on the voice of God, something, the gospel will be transmitted in some way by your life or by your words, and Jesus Christ will be glorified, which is what you desire to do. So you say, what do I do? Have an awareness of God's presence in your life. He's walking with you. He's walking beside you. Just like I used the illustration with Jeremiah. He's the comforter that walks alongside of me. Second, have an attentiveness to God's word. Mary was available. She was attentive to God's word. Be available to God's voice, to listen to God. And ask for an understanding of what he's going to talk to you about and what he's saying to you and how he wants to proceed in your life regularly. I just wrote something, as Pastor mentioned, that I'll pass on in one of the bulletin inserts that Pastor Clay will get to you. But it's hearing the voice of God. And what I found out in my life is that my living pattern had not been as it should be in checking in often enough with the voice of God. Do you check in regularly with God? God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? And I close with this little illustration. I was back on a family vacation. We're back at my grandmother's house. I had some shorts and a t-shirt on, vacation clothing. And I got up one morning, and it was like the Lord impressed me. It had to be the Lord because I wasn't smart enough to think about this. It was like the Lord said, put your suit on. It's Tuesday. What in the world? Why would I put a suit on? Why would I put a suit on Tuesday? Lord, is this really you? Well, Satan wouldn't tell you to put a suit on, I know that. He would say, wear the sloppiest clothes available. I put my suit on, I went downstairs, and after I put my suit on, this is how God works. He said, I want you to go visit the Bakers. The Bakers. Oh, they owned a little general store in town. And when I was a kid, remember when candy was a penny? And I used to go in and they would put an extra couple of pieces of candy in my bag. I would come out there with, I only had a dime, but I would come out sometimes with 13 or 15 pieces of candy. Sweet, sweet people. They didn't know the Lord. So I come down the stairs and my wife, Susan, said, where are you going? Well, I can understand. What are you doing with a suit on Tuesday morning at, 8:15 in the morning? You have a suit on already. What are you doing? I said, I'm going to visit the Bakers. She didn't say a word. I went out, got in the car. And now remember, I had been away from the Bakers for about maybe 18 to 20 years. I knocked on their door. And Mr. Baker said, who is it? I said, his first name was Clyde. I said, Clyde? Now listen. He said, Marty? Whoa! I said, God, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. I said, yes, it's me. He opened the door. I went in. He said, come on in. See my wife. I went in. Here's this lady laying on the bed in the bedroom with an oxygen mask on. I looked and there's a big Bible on the table. And I knelt down and put my arms around her and I said, so good to see you. I said, I came this morning because I wanted to thank you for being so good to me when I was a kid. I said, you remember giving me that candy. You put extra candy in my bag. You did all of these things for me. I said, I came because one day I want you to be in heaven with me. I want you to be in heaven with me. Could I show you from the Bible? And after I told the story about putting stuff in my bag, Mr. Baker, Clyde said, I'm gonna go fix some tea. I said, okay. So he left and I was there with his wife and I just finished. Has anyone ever showed you from the Bible how you can know Jesus and be on your way to heaven? She shook her head. No, I said, would you like me to show you that this morning? Yes. Gave her the gospel and through her oxygen mask, I could hear her. I mean, see her lips move as she repeated the sinner's prayer. Amen. Well, Clyde never came back into the room. I'm thinking, where is this guy? So I went out, I went out and called Clyde. He was sitting at the table. He was thinking I was going to come out and drink tea with him right away. And I said, oh, I didn't know you were out here waiting on me. I said, I'm sorry. He said, that's okay. I said, well, I just had to tell your wife how that she could be in heaven with me someday. He said, well, could you tell me too? And I said, absolutely. I gave them the gospel. He asked Christ to be a savior. I went out of that house shouting, God, thank you for speaking to me, for having me put a suit on. It wasn't the suit. It was God's voice getting my attention. Amen. Right? 2 weeks later, my grandmother called, said Clyde died of a heart attack. His wife had the oxygen mask on. He looked healthy. He went to heaven. I'll see him someday. Right? Check in with the voice of God. Every day. Often. Continually. Faithfully. Regularly. Loyally. Say, God, what do you want me to do? When the cell phone rings, don't say, oh, it's this. Oh, no. Say, oh, God, give me the words to say. Tell me how you want me to handle this call. On social media, don't just notice what everybody else is doing and get their news. Pray for them. God, what are you saying about this situation that I'm reading about? God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to interact? It will always be for the transmission of the gospel and that Christ will be glorified. I hope you walk away tonight saying, I'm more committed than ever to listening to the voice of God and checking in with Him. Pastor, you come. Heavenly Father, Thank you for the powerful truth of your word. Thank you that you interact with us, that you speak to us, that we can check in and we can hear your voice and we can obey what you say. Help us to be people who seek to hear you and obey you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.